Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Monsters of Sox podcast. The Red Sox still playing 500 ball. Everything is the same. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Brian, what's happening? I'm sad. How are you feeling?
I would be sad, but the Jaren Duran victory lap is getting larger. So
yeah, that's true.
My ego is swelling.
That's true. I'm sad because unlike you, my emotions don't just come from being proven right all the time. I'm sad for other people. In this case, I'm really sad for the Oakland A's fan base. That's what I'm sad about. I'm pissed off. God, I want to shout out my good college friend, Tyler Levine Hall. It was my roommate when I was a junior year, one of my roommates. Dude was from Oakland, and I got to know a lot of guys from Oakland and Oakland A's fans through him. And let me tell you something. Forget about the A's attendance figures and, you know, what a terrible, shitty job that ownership – I mean, the ownership hasn't done a shitty job. They've deliberately torn that team down. But actual A's fans are awesome. It's one of my favorite fan bases in sports. I really mean that. Everyone talks about how empty that stadium is, but that's true. But it's also still somehow loud very frequently. Like, there's always drums out in left field. There's always flags waving out in left field. Those people are legit. Tyler Levine Hall and his A's fans were always in my room. They were always high. They always spoke like a language I didn't even understand. Oakland has its own language. I didn't even understand it. And I am sad and depressed for them today, Brian Joyner. How are you feeling?
I only think about myself. So
right.
No, the degree with what you're saying matches the plot of the movie Major League, only with the owner having succeeded in relocating, is frightening. Down to the drums in center field.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. And it's just insane to me that we just let this happen, because this is so a team's moving, which they do frequently. Although I guess it's been a long time. It's been since like what, 2004 when the Expos moved to DC. That was the last time it happened. So it's been almost 20 years at this point, but it still happens frequently enough. This is completely unthinkable in every other country in the world. The idea that, you know, one billionaire, you know, is free to and frequently does just rip away a team which acts as a vehicle for hopes and dreams and, you know, an anchor in a community. And they just do it all the time, and they just don't give a shit. And the way that we're just like, yeah, that's how it works. It's really depressing when you consider the fact that this doesn't happen in any other country in the world. Teams don't move anywhere else. That doesn't happen. It's only in America.
Weren't there big protests when they were going to cut the wages of Liverpool's employees?
Massive protests. Yes. Yes. Massive, massive protests. And of course, there were massive protests when Liverpool and you know, the other big clubs in Europe tried to create the Super League. And it's the idea of sports franchises moving is one of those things that, like, we've just come to accept as business as usual, but other people find completely insane. And I really think, like, we as a fan base need to step back and be like, yes, this is completely insane. This is completely insane. Like, they, especially since sports leagues go out of their way so much to present themselves as not just another business. You know, they want to reap the benefits of being seen as something more, as being seen as something that ties communities together and, you know, creates shared memories that exist throughout time. They want to reap the benefits of that, but then they're also like, hey, if we can get the government of Nevada to give us more money, we're going to do that. That just ticks me off.
And they're not even the first team in the last 3 years to move from Oakland to Las Vegas. It's not even original, guys.
That's a good point too. Yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't follow the NFL much, but yeah, man, Oakland lost all three of its teams in the last 5 years.
It's really
what
appalling.
The hell?
It's really
God. That's
really
awful.
Appalling. Well, that's not going to happen to the Red Sox, thankfully. Nor are they going to win any more than they lose, apparently, either, because they seem to be very happy at or around the 500 mark. They dropped a series to the Orioles. Their struggles against the AL East continue. And yet, I still believe a little bit.
Not you still believe what? What do you still believe? That's what I'm curious, because I
they're
feel
on
like,
the
again,
upswing.
Like,
I still believe they're on the upswing.
Yeah. I mean, we both discussed how we think this is a team that's going to finish the year right close to 500, and that's what they are right now. So it's kind of funny that we have been having sort of swings of emotion as Red Sox fans early in this month, starting with, you know, the Adam Duvall resurgence, and then the injury, and then, you know, getting swept, getting mocked by the Rays, coming back. Like, it's been a weirdly emotional first month of the season, and yet they're a game under 500, which is exactly where we expected them to be. So it is kind of weird that it is that it seems so wild on a day-to-day basis. It seems like a wild season.
I've tried not to spin my wheels too much for this very reason, because it doesn't seem like we're going anywhere. But we're not falling behind either. We're just going.
You seem pretty sanguine about everything.
Yeah, that's because my Duran take has panned out. My Turner take has panned out. All my takes have panned out. I was realizing that I have this team pretty much nailed. And that's why I hope I'm right, that there's better things on the horizon. But
well, should we start off by seeing if there's anything you are angry about, Brian Joyner?
Let's do it.
I just got an idea in having this conversation about your mental state. Here's what I think we should do. So last week, you know, when we tried when we debuted the Brian Joyner anger scale, which was confusing, mathematically confusing, because we ended up using negative numbers to explain things that you weren't angry about. Here's what I think we should do. I think I'm going to actually tally the score, your anger score, week to week. And I think we should chart it. And I think we should do an experiment to see if the number that we end up getting with your anger score actually accurately describes your state of being that day and that week. What do you think?
I think if you can put a number on how someone feels, don't waste it on me here. Go become a billionaire.
I don't have those capabilities. But yeah, I think let's give that out. Let's try it out. So again, so if you're angry about something, give me a positive integer. If you're happy about something, give me a negative integer.
So you saw a system where it was confusing because there were positives and negatives and just reversed it.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. I'm down. Let's go.
Okay. All right. So first question for you, Brian Joyner, how angry are you about the fact that the Red Sox are third in the league in runs scored and opposing starters have completed six innings against the Red Sox just three times, which is the fewest of any team in all of baseball. This is an offensive juggernaut, Brian Joyner.
Yeah, that's why I'm like negative seven, because I'm not.
Negative seven. Got it.
I'm not particularly angry about this, because if I think that offensive production minus some obvious regression candidates in Duvall when he plays, he's not going to hit four home runs in five games or whatever he did. Jaron Duran is probably not going to be batting 400, 400, 600 all year. However, Justin Turner will start hitting for power, I think.
Will he?
Some. But
we'll see.
I think that it's way more stable, and I think the pitching has been largely – the starting pitching has been largely Garbaggio. So
yeah,
I'm not particularly worried about it.
I guess on the question of is this real, I'm shocked to see that they are, by some metrics, as I just read, the best offensive team in baseball. I did not see that coming. But when you look up and down the lineup, you know, okay, of course, you can say, obviously, Adam Duvall was not going to keep doing what he was doing. But then again, that was over, what, six? How many games did he play? Six, seven? He got hurt. Not even that. There was the Tiger series was the second series of the season, right? So he played like five games. So, yes, obviously what Duvall did was unsustainable, but he's only played five games. Jaron Duran is hitting the lights out of the ball right now. Probably not sustainable either, but that's only been a couple of games too. So when you look up at the actual individual performances, yeah, Rafael Devers is doing what I expected him to do. Tristan Casas is underperforming what I expected him to do. Yoshida was underperforming for a long time and is now back on track. Like, the individual performances aren't that outrageous.
You haven't even mentioned the number one performance by Fangraphs WAR. That would be Alex Verdugo.
Alex Verdugo. Yes, of course. Well, that is the one that I didn't see coming. Although, you know, we discussed him a lot before the season as a guy who could do this. I was skeptical, but other people weren't. So I guess what I'm saying is, are they just this team? Are they just one of the best offensive teams in baseball? Maybe they
sure
are.
Sure looks like it. Sure looks like it. This is the Chaim Bloom special. I mean, this is what they signed up for in bringing on Bloom and in creating a juggernaut like this out of mostly spare and oddly shaped parts. And it's come together. I do think there's been more hot starts than there have been cold ones. So I do think it'll dip a little bit. But look, I don't think Verdugo will keep up what he's doing, but a 311, 377, 466 line is like, if he's going to have a career year, you'd suspect that the final line might look something like that. And
yeah, for sure.
And his batting average on balls in play is pretty high, as it is for pretty much everyone on the early season WAR ranking, except for the guys who only hit home runs, like Max Muncy, Hunter Renfro, and Patrick Wisdom. But it's not outrageously so compared to the people he's next to. And it look.
And in his case, we expected that to improve a little bit because he was a big victim of the shift last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing his best ball as a Red Sox, I think, and is it at a time where it's needed. They're really solid from top to bottom, especially if Jaron Duran, he doesn't need to be what he's been so far. That's asking for a lot, but it looks like he's going to be useful. He's hitting the snot out of the ball. And if he could just do that and not be terrible on defense, that's a big hole filled in a platoon, obviously the strong side of a platoon. Yeah. Role, but
well, let's not forget, he hasn't really gotten the base running going yet.
Well, he's been hitting doubles and homers. It's sort of hard.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah. He hasn't needed to. You're right, but that's another hole that's something that the Red Sox, you know, seemed ill prepared for the new rules with that respect, with the base, you know, they for obviously we all talked about their struggles throwing out base runners, and it looks like maybe just Reese McGuire's just not good at throwing out runners, which could be a problem going forward, since he is certainly the much better offensive performer between him and Wong. Although I don't really buy into Reese McGuire's offensive resurgence. I'm expecting his bat to come down to earth any day now. And if that happens, and if he also can't throw runners out, then the Sox may have a catching problem. But we don't have to get to that yet, because we could just staying positive. Before Duran came up, the Red Sox weren't having a lot of success on the base paths. And, you know, I think I did one pod with Keaton early in the season where we discussed that. And he said, like, are you surprised they're not running more? And the fact is, if you look at the Red Sox opening day lineup, like, the answer is no. They didn't have anyone who could run in the opening day lineup. And this was going to be, you know, we all knew this was going to be a major new part of the game. They didn't have anyone who could do it. So even if Duran's bat cools down, which it will, like, if he can just be a guy who can go out there and start stealing a couple of bags a week, which he certainly should be able to do, that's something the Sox haven't had yet this year.
Yeah, it's funny how this, you know, this is certainly not the first Red Sox team that's had trouble throwing out base runners. In fact, that's been the norm over the long haul, nor having base runners, particularly adept ones. But this is a case where this is, and when I wrote about Duran, this is what I sort of said. It's like, you know, it's now or never, not least wise, because you're the right type of player for this time right now. Like, this is it. It's made for you. If it doesn't work now, when is it going to work? And you can't read into anything too much, but he really is smashing the ball and saying that he's learned to not press. And it's easy to say when you're going well, but the long answer is no, I'm not really worried about the lineup.
All right. Well, that's too much optimism coming from you. So let's go to the next thing. Let's find out how angry you are about the fact that the Red Sox rotation has a 6.41 ERA, which is second worst in all of baseball, ahead of only the Oakland Athletics. And Red Sox starters are number one in the league in home runs allowed, second in most starts that went four innings or fewer, and it is tied for last in starts that went six or more innings. How angry are you about the Red Sox starting rotation?
Let's say four. I just don't have expectations. I've always looked at this rotation as sale accepted, but now who knows? Just a giant collection of number threes, two to fours, let's say.
That might even be generous. I mean, when Bayo and Whitlock are healthy, then you're talking about guys that are threes. But
well, Bayo has really juiced, those two guys have really juiced the home run numbers.
Yeah,
it's been really difficult, but this is part of the reason for my optimism. I'm sorry, you can't push me off this one. The pitching has been awful. The offense has been great, but I think offense is more stable over the long run, and the pitching won't be this bad over the long run, and they're still 500-ish on any given look. They don't play the day we're recording, Thursday, for the first time in eons, and by Friday night, they'll probably be 500 again. And if the pitching could put together any sort of sustained, even for 2 weeks, not terrible performances, I think we're going to see a slow growth in the standings. And all the idiots who just say they're in last place, they don't control what division they're in.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough.
I mean, no, at you're this right. point in the season, I like in 2 months, sure, right? But at this point in the season, look at their record, look at their underlying stats. Don't worry about what place they're in, especially because first place in this division is such a is lapping every division. So
it's settled just, already.
Right. So let's pump the brakes on the last place business. It doesn't mean you need to be happy about it, but forward. So four.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you about pumping the brakes on the last place thing. And frankly, that was even unfair last year to keep harping on that because it was the same issue. The AL East wasn't quite as strong as it appears to be this year, but they were still one of the best last. They probably did. They have the best last place record in baseball. They probably did last year.
I would find it hard to believe they didn't.
Yeah. 78 wins is a lot of wins for a last place team. So I agree with that. Pump the brakes on that. But at the same time, I feel like the corollary to that is people on the opposite side need to pump the brakes on they're only 1.5 games out of the playoffs thing. Because making the third wild card now is just really, I don't think should be considered any kind of achievement. And they're on, so sure, they're only 1.5 games out of the playoffs, but they're 8th overall in the American League. I think 17th overall in all of baseball. That's like as mediocre as it gets. 1.5 games out of the playoffs implies you're a really good team. They're a 500.
I'm fine with them being okay with the last wild card, but let's talk about 1.5 games out on September 27th, not April 27th. The playoffs, you're not 1.5 games out of the playoffs. You're like 130 games out of there. Like, it doesn't matter. The season is not ending unless look after COVID. I guess NBA showed us you can figure things out if the season ends, but I'm not betting on it.
Yeah. All right. The last time we did this, the last two times we did this, we talked about Masataka Yoshida's ground ball. Since last time recorded, he's played 7 baseball games. In those 7 games, he went 13 for 25 with 3 home runs and 10 RBIs.
Yeah, but
what number are you putting?
Yeah, I mean, -9. Negative 9. Again, another thing. I said, look, don't get worked up about it. He didn't get really a spring training with the Red Sox. He'll figure it out. And boy, has he figured it out. It's beautiful, isn't it? All credit due to Chaim Bloom. This is what we said was possible. And I think we thought, for all the crap we've given them about not being forthright, it's not that we ever thought Chaim Bloom wasn't intelligent. And there are so many smart minds in the game right now. Finding any edge is really hard. And I think he found one in signing Yoshida for what was considered a premium, but only by the standard of what people were projecting. And Bloom looked at that and said, well, what if these projections are just totally out of whack? This would be so much more valuable. And if he does anything, like if he can straighten it out and get more fly balls like this, it's gravy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. The signing of Yoshida is, I hope one day we get a little bit more reporting on it. We've heard a lot about, there's been a lot of anecdotal stuff about the Red Sox scouting him specifically. There's the story of how they couldn't get in the ballpark one night, but the ballpark where he was playing had a Ferris wheel beyond the outfield fence. So they got tickets to the Ferris wheel and tried to scout him from there. There's been a lot of stories about that. But the actual signing itself, I would love to hear more about. Because I don't know if you remember, after the signing, Scott Boras came out and revealed that the Red Sox were the only team they talked to. And he made some kind of quote that where he was just like, we really just felt like the Red Sox were the right fit for Yoshida and we wanted to steer him towards the Sox. And so they literally didn't negotiate with any other team, which – knowing Scott Boras, you have to assume the only reason for that is that the Red Sox valuation for him was so much higher than every other team's that they didn't even bother to talk to anyone else. But I guess I wonder if it's also possible that there were other teams out there who maybe would have gone higher and for some reason weren't given a chance. Maybe Yoshida just wanted it to be done with as soon as possible. I don't know.
No, first of all, I don't believe Scott Boras. The only thing I believe about Scott Boras is he got the most money he could get because he's the GOAT. He's the best to ever do it.
Right.
So when he says that, if the Red Sox valuations were were so much more than every other team's valuations, that meant that Scott Boras talked to the other teams to find out their valuation. Doesn't mean he seriously talked to them. But right. I don't believe Scott Boras on the particulars, but I think in it writ large, it's plain to see that, yes, there was a market of one ultimately, given how much the Red Sox were willing to pay.
All right, Yoshida is looking beautiful. We kind of just covered this, but since we did say the polar opposite last week, we have to come back and cover it again. Last week when we did this, we talked about how Chris Sale and Garrett Whitlock were back, baby. 1 week later, Chris Sale and Garrett Whitlock are very much not back. How do you feel? How angry are you about Chris Sale and Garrett Whitlock?
I'd say 5. I'm more Whitlock. Sale, I don't know if it's more one or the other. I don't expect Chris Sale to be great every single time out anymore.
Yeah.
What I was encouraged was seeing the greatness. Garrett Whitlock, for his part, still does not have a ton of innings under his belt.
He's made 12 starts his entire career.
Right.
It doesn't seem like that because he's been with the team now for 3 years and he's he's not old, but he's like 27. You know, he's not a kid, but he's made 12 starts his entire career.
Yeah, I'm not particularly mad about it. It's just disappointing. As I said, I do have to believe they're not going to have a over 6 ERA for the whole season. I'm just going to go out on
you wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so. The Sale start thing, though, like, it's so bizarre with him because it's I wrote a piece that broke down a little bit the differences between his start against the Twins, where he was outstanding and struck out 11 hitters in 6 innings, and the start against the Orioles, where he was brutal. And the fact of the matter is, like, under the hood, he was almost the same pitcher in both games. The velocity was the same. In fact, he threw harder against the Orioles than he did against the Twins. The movement was the same. He threw almost the same. He had almost the same ball to strike ratio in both games. He actually walked more hitters and hit more hitters against the Twins than against the Orioles. The only difference that I could find was that if you looked at, you know, a chart that showed the location of the pitches he threw inside the strike zone, then the Twins, when he was in the strike zone, he was still staying away from the middle of the plate a little bit more. He was down in the zone. He was on the corners. And against the Orioles, he was missing middle in a lot. And that may be the only difference. That, like, they're literally, as far as I can tell, there's no other difference between those two styles.
There's one other difference. Orioles fucking rake. Hate to say it.
They do. So are the Orioles for real?
Yeah.
I guess they are. And they're doing this.
Their pitching staff is sort of like the negative image of the Red Sox pitching staff, where you could see them sort of switching vibes pretty quickly. I don't think the Orioles, outside of Grayson Rodriguez, it's pretty light.
But Grayson Rodriguez hasn't been good. That's I think his ERA is over 5. So that's when we talked about the Orioles, I think we both kind of said, like, yeah, we felt good about their collection of position players, but the pitching staff probably wasn't going to cut it unless we said, like, unless Grayson Rodriguez comes up and has a rookie of the year type season, unless John Means comes back and picks up where he left off. Well, John Means still hasn't come back, and Grayson Rodriguez has been bad. And the Orioles are one of the best teams in baseball right now. I don't know. We should be very, very scared about this as Red Sox fans. Because if Grayson Rodriguez does figure it out.
on the other way because I think that they can't sustain it the same way the Sox can't sustain being this bad in the rotation.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just worried about Rodriguez figuring it out. I'm worried about John Means coming back.
Well, I'm worried because they're like kind – the ages don't match, but they're kind of the same team as the Red Sox, especially now they got this guy, Yiner Cano, who cannot be hit upon, 29-year-old reliever who came up this year and he got his first, I believe, 23 batters out. Before he plunked Justin Turner, at which point he just got the next guy out. Still hasn't given up a hit all season. And they got a live arm in the bullpen. They can hit home runs like nobody's business, and they're hoping the pitching comes through. It's very familiar.
Yeah, it is. All right. Let's see. Anything else? Talk about Sale Whitlock.
No, I think it's time, Dan. So we're going to take a break. And Dan has a segment.
Just let me clarify. You were a -7, by the way, just to get that on the record. Is that how you feel today? Do you feel -7 angry today?
About the Red Sox? Yeah, I feel like garbage otherwise. But Dan has a segment. I have no idea what it is. He's very excited to unveil it, and we'll do it after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back. Dan, lay it on me. What are we doing?
All right. So here's what happened. I was watching the Orioles, the Red Sox Orioles game two nights ago. And something happened that just made me think of a particular person. And you know who this person is. I haven't thought about this person in a really long time. But I was just curious. I was like, you know, let me do a little Googling here. See what they're up to. So I Googled them. Turns out they're not up to much, and it's actually kind of, we'll get into this. It's kind of a sad story, I think, in some respects. Not much going on career-wise for this person, but they do have a Twitter feed, and I checked them on to check out the Twitter feed. And I got to tell you, there's some Twitter gold in this feed, and I can't believe kind of as Red Sox fans that this Twitter feed isn't a little bit more well known, a little bit more infamous, I should say. And so what I wanted to do, I want to share some of these tweets with Brian on the pod. And I started to copy and paste a few tweets that I liked. And I initially was going to copy, say, you know, 5 or 6 tweets and just share them with you for fun. You want to take a guess at how many tweets I ended up copying and pasting on this Word document in front of me?
42.
87.
Oh, my God.
87. I'm not proud of this, but over the past 2 days, I've probably spent a cumulative time of 4 hours just going through this Twitter feed. And here's what I want to do. So initially, I was going to make it a game. I was just going to start reading tweets and make you guess who this person is.
That's what I thought you were doing right now.
Okay. So we are, and I still do want to do that, except we're not just going to do that for a couple of reasons. One, because I don't think you would get it. I don't think you would figure it out just based on the tweets alone. And we'll be here reading tweets for a long time. But then the other thing too is, I want you to get as much joy out of these tweets as I have for the past 2 days. And I only think that will happen if you know who the tweeter is.
Okay.
So here's what we're going to do. So those 72 tweets, I have subsequently broken them down into various categories, various subject matter categories. We're still going to play the game. It'll be a condensed version of the game. I'm going to read you probably maybe about 10 or 12, okay? And I'll probably also give you clues in and around the tweets, okay? Because there's, like I said, there's no other way I think you would get it otherwise. And in fact, I'm going to start you, before I even read a tweet, I'm going to start you off with a clue, okay? The reason why I think, the reason why it's maybe possible for you to guess who this person is not necessarily because of the content or subject matter of the tweets, although that will help. But it's more that, here's the clue, it's more that you are actually very familiar with how this person communicates. Okay?
Okay.
Ready to play?
Yes.
Ready to play? All right, tweet number one. Last night, a fan asked me, what was Ted Williams' war? I said, World War II and Korean.
That's good. That's pretty good.
You want to just take a shot in the dark after one tweet?
I mean, it's not one of the Paladin Lansdowne guys, right?
It is not. I will give you another clue. I'll give you another clue right now. The Paladin Lansdowne guys would absolutely love this Twitter account and use it as a bit, except for the fact that I'm not quite sure they're old enough to really know this guy the way that you and I do.
Okay. Is it Billy?
It is not Billy. It is okay. Not Billy.
That was my first guess.
And I'll give, tweet number two, instead of just telling you it's not Billy, I should have just said tweet number two is, I want my country back.
Is it?
All right, wait. Hold it.
It's not Curt Schilling. Obviously, it's not Curt Schilling.
It's not Curt Schilling. All right, next tweet. Some of these two, I have to decide whether to read these in language that makes them listenable or just read them in the grammar in the way they were written. It would be funnier. I might mix it up because sometimes it's funny just to read it the exact way it's written. So here's one. The Audible Omaha, made famous by Peyton Manning. But what happened on Omaha Beach 78 years ago today should be remembered. D-Day changed the world, changed history. Those heroes should be remembered.
Oh, my God. It's not Trump.
It's not Trump.
Okay, I'm trying to think of particularly militant Red Sox related people, which I think is a fair arena. That's quite the swerve. I really appreciate that. So Mike Greenwell?
It is not Mike Greenwell. Gator Greenwell. Not him. Not a bad guess, though. All right.
Clemens?
It's
not Clemens.
It's not Clemens. You think Clemens is tweeting? Come on, Clemens is. And you think Clemens is coming up with that little war joke about the Korean War?
I'm not asking if it's this person specific. Is it like Marty Barrett or something? Is that in the ballpark?
It's not like Marty Barrett. Well, okay. I don't know how much I don't know how much you want to know. It's not Marty Barrett.
It's not that era.
Maybe in Marty Barrett's ballpark. I'm not answering any more questions like that.
Right, I get it. Right, maybe I can read between the lines there.
All right. Okay, so this next one, I want you to think about the first clue I gave you where I said you know about how this person communicates. Okay, here we go. The standard for a catcher in MLB used to be Johnny Bench. Now it's Johnny Botch.
Is it? No, Tim McCarver's dead, so it's not him. Is it? Is it some old-time sports columnist we don't realize is sending these gems out into the ether?
That is generally correct. Yes. Not every word you just said is correct, but yes, what you just said is generally true.
Gammons. No, it doesn't sound like Gammons at all.
Come on.
Does not sound it's like not Gambit.
It's not Gambit.
It's not Shaughnessy. Right, it's not Bob Ryan. It's not any of those guys.
It's not any of those guys. Three things we need to rid the world of. Scam phone calls. Paranormal TV shows claiming to be real and the designated hitter.
Ooh.
And by the way, when we get into this later after I reveal who this is, scam phone calls and paranormal TV shows are both regular things that come up in the Twitter feed.
Oh, well that's a real interesting one because they want to get rid of the designated hitter.
Right.
And let
that
me
actually,
just,
you know what? That yeah.
Let me
go ahead. Go ahead. And that actually might throw you off the scent a little bit, but go ahead.
Okay. Frank Viola. I don't know. No, you said it was like it's a media person.
It is a media personality. Yes.
An older media personality.
I think you can deduce their age. Yes.
Okay. Were they a writer or a television or a... Is it Mike Adams?
It is not Mike Adams. If it was Mike Adams, he'd be...
It would not be about the military. It would be about weed.
Yeah.
Bill Pito.
I don't know who Bill Pito is. Who is Bill Pito?
Okay. Well, he was an ESPN guy, but before that, like for a long time, before that, he was Mike Adams' sidekick. He was like the buttoned-up guy on the Mike Adams call-in show that I called into when I was in high school. All right, lay another one on me.
All right, I'm gonna read you two here.
Okay.
One's baseball-related, one's not baseball-related, but they both are pretty good reflections of, again, who this guy is and how he communicates.
It's not Eck.
No, come on.
Of course not.
It's not Eck. All right. Heard MLB is changing its acronym to FUBAR. Featuring unqualified bozos aimlessly raining. Wait, what? You thought it was the other thing? Yeah, that too. That's one. And then the next one is, how would we know if the invisible man is observing social distancing guidelines?
This is fascinating. Not David O'Brien. Dave O'Brien.
It's not Dave O'Brien.
Wow.
Remember. All right. Remember, I started this off by saying I have not thought about this person in a while.
Oh, it's a media person. I was going to say Shea Hillenbrand. That would have been like.
Oh, yeah.
I'm close to giving up, but just lay a couple more on me.
All right. A couple more on you.
And then we can enjoy it in its full reveal.
Yes.
State.
I'm going to give you just two non-baseball ones. I made a gingerbread house, and this tweet was accompanied by a picture of a little jar of ground ginger surrounded by four pieces of bread.
Oh my gosh.
All right, and then here's a tweet, but you may have actually heard this person say these words. It sounds so, I can hear it in his voice. Went to the grocery store and had a Clint Eastwood shopping experience. I saw the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Is it Lupica?
All right, I'm going to give you one more clue here, Joyner.
It's Red Sox related, so it's not Lupica.
It's Red Sox related. I told you that I haven't thought about this person in a while, so you also, you have to go back in your memory. In fact, you got to go way back. Way back.
Truppiano?
Jerry Truppiano.
My God. That's perfect. That makes so much sense. Everything about that makes sense.
Now you get these awful one-liners.
He's being followed like presently.
I've spent the better part of 4 hours for the last 2 days reading through Jerry Truppiano's Twitter feed. It is a sight to behold. And my first thought, I got to tell you, when I first started going through the tweets, I was like, wow, like, thank God he is no longer the voice of the Red Sox. But then my second thought was, wait a minute, no, he needs to be the voice of the Red Sox again, because these are so, so wonderful. All right, I'm going to read you some of the categories. You tell me what you want to hear. Do you want to hear Troop on the Will Smith, Chris Rock Oscars moment? Do you want to hear Troop on Domino's Pizza? Troop on the various meaning of words? Troop on NFL-related watches? Troop goes to the movies? Or Troop on telemarketers? What do you want to start with? They're all great.
First of all, I just want to say this. Scanning this man is drill. This is incredible. These are incredible, but definitely Troop goes to the movies. 100%.
Troop goes to the movies. Okay. All right. Let me pull it up here. Okay. Big fan of Clint Spaghetti Westerns, but how come in those movies nobody is ever eating spaghetti?
Oh my God, Troop. Troop, my man.
These next three have a narrative arc to them, so I'll read them. Watching Godzilla and King Kong throwing hands, like watching the Broad Street Bullies again. That's tweet number one. The next tweet, Godzilla versus Kong. Man, does this movie suck? Very next tweet. If you are thinking of spending money on Godzilla versus Kong, here's a public service announcement. Save the money and just watch the WWE on Monday. Spoiler alert, remember the mega powers. This movie wasn't released. It escaped. Awful. I don't know what those words mean. Oh, yeah. Here's a good one. And I'm not, the name of the movie isn't in this tweet, but you'll know it. All movies have a certain amount of fiction. What is true, though, is Americans needed protection / help, and four ended up dead.
I'm listening to you, but I'm also scanning the feed, because if anything, your 4 hours, I get it now. I totally get it. I will probably be spending hours on here, even though we're going to go through a bunch more of these.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we might be talking about this for an hour. Couple more on the movies. Again, I'll just
read. We might need to have a new segment, Jerry. We can go back and forth. Old Jerry Trupiano tweet of the week.
We absolutely are. But all right, to finish up the movies category, I'm gonna read a string in a row here. Am I the only one who thinks Uncle Frank in Home Alone deserves a serious beatdown? Pause. A couple months go by. In the movie Home Alone, what trap would hurt the most? I'm thinking Marv stepping on the long nail would really, really hurt. Pause. A couple years go by. Watching Home Alone for the 93rd time, when Daniel Stern steps in that nail, always brings back memories of when I did that in high school.
Why does he think that? I guess he doesn't know the other things.
Oh, you already knew it. You already knew.
Now, hold on. Did he thread these tweets? I guess he did not. Of course not. Of course not.
Almost everything I'm going to read to you, these tweets are like years apart.
All right, we're going to. I remember when you asked, I was feeling, because I felt like garbage, but otherwise felt good. Now I feel amazing. This is what I needed.
All right. We're going to Troop on telemarketers. And I'm gonna read these in a row, because there is an actual narrative arc to this one. But again, this is not a tweet thread. These are various tweets that Trupiano has tweeted throughout the years. All right, here we go. Just pulled an all-timer. Got a scam credit card call. As the scammer came on the line, I played the phone scene from Taken. I think I really scared the guy. Next tweet. Just got the fake scam Microsoft call where the jabroni wants to get in your computer. When I gave the fraud a few of the best choice words, he didn't understand. Apparently has never driven in Boston. Just got my third scam call today. I think I made this guy cry. Thank you to all those hockey players who expanded my vocabulary with the proper words to use in this situation. Also, my third grade classmates who contributed. Just got one of those scam calls that want to log on to your computer. Got the guy good. I think he wet himself. On today's edition of Screwing with the Scammers, played the Samuel L. Jackson biblical speech from Pulp Fiction. I've also used Liam Neeson from Taken. Open for more suggestions. Next week, when the scammers call, I play the phone scene from the movie Taken. One time I heard a guy whimper. And finally, just had a scammer say he was going to look me up and cut my throat. Well, that escalated quickly.
He's drill. He is just drill. This is like, this is drill. I am in awe. As you said, you see some of the content, you start thinking, this isn't for me. And then you realize, oh no,
it's
this could not be more for me.
All right, here we go. Here's the next category here. This is Jerry Trupiano on the NFL. Bought my son a Dallas Cowboys watch for Christmas. After a turn it, turns out it only works for 59 minutes. Next
Jerry,
week.
Jerry, I get it. I get it, Jerry.
Let's see if you get it. Heading out to the mall to return my Atlanta Falcons watch. It only works for 57 minutes. Too soon? Just ordered a Sean Payton watch from Amazon. Got a great deal because it only works for 58 minutes. Too soon.
Well, at least, he's not, he's not getting the same number of minutes every time. So,
like, wait. Bought a watch. Had to take it back. It was a Green Bay Packers watch and it only worked for 59 minutes. Too soon? Heading out to return my New York Giants watch. It's defective. It only works for 59 minutes. Too soon?
I've never been so jealous of a tweeter. This man was born to post. He's a poster.
All right, let's see Trupiano's attempt at getting into the contemporary discourse. Troop on Will Smith and Chris Rock at the Oscars. Tommy Fan has been named the Will Smith Award winner for May. Ha-ha. Will Smith to star in Men in Smack.
Wait, Men in Smack? Because is he
Men in Smack? Smack, not snack.
Oh,
smack.
Oh God! Oh my God!
Will Smith gets 10-year ban from attending the Oscars after hearing with Rob Manfred. The ban reduced to 4 years. I don't know what that even means. But he hates Rob Manfred.
You know who he doesn't hate? Dan Bongino.
Dan, yeah.
It's his new hero.
They were going to make a movie on the life of Henry Aaron to star Will Smith, but then they found out he was a slap hitter. I don't even get. Is he talking about Will Smith being a slap hitter in that joke, I guess? So he didn't have the power to play Hank Aaron?
Oh, my God.
Heard Will Smith is going to endorse a new product aimed at preventing chapped lips. It's called Slapstick. Too soon?
This guy is just, he gets no engagement and he is just throwing out
no
diamonds
engagement.
Here.
No, it's kind of sad. I almost felt bad about doing this because, like, this is what I was saying. It is kind of sad. Like, I didn't love Trupiano, but I think he was average or better radio play-by-play guy.
And I mean, his calling card was being when there was a pop fly to end the inning, just like, and there's a pop fly to end, and just like, kill me now.
Yeah. But it is kind of sad. You go through some of these tweets and every now and again, you'll see a reply. Like somebody will just post a Nomar highlight on Twitter and Jerry will be on the call and somebody might reply to the original tweet being like, there's Jerry Trupiano, miss him. And he'll get that notification and he'll respond like, thanks. Haven't called a baseball game in 20 years. Hope some other club gives me a chance. And it's like kind of sad. It is kind of like hasn't had a job since the Red Sox and EEI let him go. He's done things here and there. I saw he did like the World Baseball Classic in 2017. A little bit. He's done some college stuff. But it's kind of sad. He's not that bad, is he? He's not bad enough to be totally unemployable, right?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not laughing at him. You must feel like you went west. And you're like, I want to strike gold. And
struck
you just
gold,
you did it. You found it. It was right there. clues right there for anybody to find.
I know. All right, wait to hear this category. This is Troop on Domino's Pizza. So this is another one with a narrative arc. In fact, his first tweet about pizza was simply this: "These pizza commercials are killing me. Hashtag I want a pizza." Man, okay, that's straightforward. Man sees a pizza, looks great on a commercial, wants one. Next pizza tweet. "Has anyone ever gotten a pizza from Domino's that looks like the pizza they show in their TV commercials?" 1 year later, "How come the pizzas in the Domino's commercials never look like the ones that are delivered? Shouldn't Meat Lover's Pizza be loaded with meat?" 1 year later, "Has anyone ever ordered a pizza from Domino's with multiple toppings and see what you get being anywhere close to what they show in their TV commercials? What you get is more like a connect the dots puzzle." 1 year later. "Three things I have never seen. 1, the Loch Ness Monster. 2, a funny movie with Pauly Shore in it. 3, a delivered Domino's pizza with toppings as plentiful as they show on their TV commercials."
Oh my God.
True.
I have a question. Yeah. Do you think, yeah, you sound like Orsillo right now? Do you think that he orders Domino's all the time and then once apparently a year he's just like, or do you think he doesn't order it all the time? And he orders it and he's like, oh right, this sucks. And then he just forgets.
I think he's highly susceptible to pizza commercials. And pizza commercials have such a power over him that he does forget that the pizza doesn't look like it does on TV. The poor guy. And you know, that's why he wants his country back.
Telemarketers, like he knows people are out for him.
Yeah, this is a case study in you know, older people getting angry and bitter and turning right wing because the world turned against them. All Troop wants is for telemarketers to stop calling him and for pizzas to look like they do in the commercials. That's it, damn it. That's it. Always, you can't get that.
It's always Thanksgiving on Truppiano's Twitter feed. It's always your family Thanksgiving on his Twitter feed. Oh, man.
That's all the really good stuff. There's plenty of good stuff.
No, that is a lie because I've seen it with my own eyes that there is just, there's amazing stuff.
Oh, wait, oh, I do have to read this one. I got a couple of some uncategorized ones. All right. This is a pair of tweets that go together. All right. The first one is, "My last tweet meant to reference Stan Musial as a Hall of Famer." The tweet right before that: "Does anyone know how to add Prime Video to Verizon Fiber?"
No!
It's not.
No!
To maybe it won't.
No! Oh my God. I'm looking at one like this is from December. Is TB12 unbelievable? R what?
Yes. That was the first. Brian, that was the first one I saw that I said I have to share this with you. And then it ended up on the cutting room floor because I found 72 more that were better.
"Good morning. If the gym today did cardio on elliptical number 43 in honors of X birthday and finished cardio and weights before the TV turned to The View."
That's just a nice little slice of life.
You got a beginning and end. You got everything there. Yep. Holy shit. This is the best segment we've had on. This is the funniest thing.
He's so against all the new rules in baseball. And you probably already saw this one because it's one of his most recent ones, but this really earnest one. "Where are you, the MLB franchise owner who cares about protecting the game, growing the game, who thinks this bastardization of the game replete with pizza box based and Little League rules has gone too far? Where are you?" And then I also want to note that if you keep digging, you will find another tweet. Remember, he hates the new rules. Keep digging, you will find another tweet that is simply, "The shift sucks."
You're right. I think the Pod on Lansdowne guys are too young to have.
Be really trooped up.
Which is really unfortunate because this is, this is right up. And if you're like terminally online on Twitter, If you know who Drill was, I haven't explained it and I don't care to, but if you know who that is, please do yourself a favor and check out at Jerry Trupiano, just like it sounds, spelled just like it sounds. This is a joy.
Did I make your life a little bit better today?
You did. You really did. I absolutely love it. Oh God.
We will make this a regular segment. He doesn't tweet frequently enough for it to be new stuff, unfortunately.
It doesn't. He's got the catalog is so deep. He doesn't need to put out new music all the time. He's got cuts. He's got deep cuts. He got bootlegs.
That's true.
Oh man, is this account good or what?
Starting the day planning to watch last 2 hours of the last season of 24. Start watching. TV room gets invaded by a flying squirrel. Room now headquarters for counter flying squirrel unit. What?
No. You can't write a tweet that good.
You can't
write a tweet that good.
Why are we even in this game? Why are we even in this game when Troop's up doing this? Oh, poor guy. You know what's shocking though? So I did some more searching. I told you he really does not like Tom Werner. Lots of shots at Tom Werner. A couple of shots at Henry. Hates analytics, of course, and including at one point, he has this really weird tweet where he decries analytics, and his evidence of that is that Theo Epstein initially had Jeremy Giambi as the Red Sox starting DH and not David Ortiz for like 5 weeks in 2003. That's his proof that analytics are stupid, that Theo preferred Jeremy Giambi over David Ortiz, neglecting the fact that Theo also signed David Ortiz. Like, what are you talking about, Drew Piano? But he hates analytics, he hates Werner.
He seems to be stuck up on Jeff Fry. Jeff Fry comes up
because Jeff Fry came out and was very against, I think, the extra innings rule. So he's using Jeff Fry's paragon of baseball virtue. You know what's surprising? You know who's I did a Twitter search and whose name has not popped up once in a single thing he tweeted? Joe Castiglione.
Huh. Well, that's
not once. I mean, I guess they didn't like each other. I never got that impression. Makes sense. If you had to sit next to this guy for 162 nights a year, probably wouldn't like him either.
He really was in his bag when COVID started. Like really, really in his bag.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. That was a joy. Dan, is there anything else that's brought you joy? Do you have any recommendations other than Jerry Trupiano's Twitter account?
That is my recommendation. Everyone go follow Jerry Trupiano. I think we as Red Sox Twitter will have collectively failed if we don't make this man famous again for these tweets, because he deserves it and he needs it. He needs it in his life because he's not getting happiness from his pizza. That's for sure.
That's amazing. My recommendation, speaking of unhappiness, is the Netflix show Beef, which you see these shows advertised all the time, and I ignore almost all of them unless I get a recommendation that comes from someone I know or trust, whatever. There's a guy named Sam, an old Deadspin commenter who works on movies and he has extremely critical views on television. So when he says, "This is the best TV show I've seen in years," it's not like me saying it. It's not like other people saying it. He thinks movies versus TV is like a sort of an unbridgeable gap. Maybe not unbridgeable, but that for TV to reach a height with him is very rare. So I watched it all from, I think, Sunday. I finished it. I woke up at 4:45 this morning and watched the last three episodes.
Wow.
It's so good.
Did you wake up to watch the last three episodes? Or were
no,
you just up
no.
At that time
I woke up at
4:45
and then I rolled. And then once I did that, the dog was basically like, you need to take me out. I was like, well, I'm awake now. Mm. So let's do it. It's awesome. It's like, it's just awesome. There's nothing more to say about it. And it was funny that we've been talking about someone who has so much beef with the world, because a lot of it is about how people are sort of siloed. And then you sort of put two people who are siloed in different silos and smack them together. It's very of the moment, uses social media and connectivity perfectly. Acting is incredible. The writing is great. It's really wonderful. It's a binge show. It's a binge show. You could fly through it. Great music cues for people our age. Every music cue is like got, you know, it's everything from like,
yeah. You haven't actually explained what the show is about.
Oh,
I
thought that it was known just generally. It's about two people who have a road rage incident in a parking lot. Nobody hits each other, just guys backing up and almost hits a woman with his car. They're both at the end of the rope. She flips him off. He chases her. And this leads to 10 episodes of interconnected craziness that just builds. So it's
Crash, the TV show.
Except for it's good.
Yeah, no, that movie was god awful. Huh?
So that's it. I think that is all I have. Dan, do you have anything else?
That's it. I got nothing. I'm too worn out by these troop tweets to even think about anything else right now.
I was going to say.
I need a cigarette.
Everybody, go visit at Jerry Trupiano. Thank you for listening to Monsters of Socks. And we will be with you next week with a troop tweet of the week, among other things.
God willing. Jerry, come on. Talk to us. Don't let us down, buddy.
Do it.